This past Wednesday, we had our trunk or treat, and we've had a really good run the past, I don't know how many years, where we've not had any issues with weather, but this year we did. And so we had rain in the forecast, but we were hoping and praying it would hold off or get through and get out. And we had to, at the last minute, move indoors. And I just have to applaud all of you who did trunks and helped in some way. I was amazed at how you adapted so well, so quickly. And I think when our guests came in, they would not have known that we had not been planning that indoors all along. It was fantastic. And we had big crowds. Thank you for the prayers. We need to keep praying because we had a number of our guests, you know, comment about this place, this church, and express an interest. And so be praying for God to give the increase in the future. We have a, we do like to kind of honor one of the trunks that you went to great efforts. The trunks are all great, but we like to kind of highlight one as being extra special. And so the Chesser family, and this gives you a little idea. They did Jurassic Park, and this is Talon Chesser in this outfit, and we got many comments about him and that. I call it a trunk, even though we're indoors. And so, shout out to the Chesser family; they really went above and beyond. So, it was a great night, church. You outdid yourself, and so we do it in God's name and His honor. We cannot avoid being bombarded with political ads. And if I get one more text message from some strange number telling me who to vote for, is anyone else getting, am I the only one getting these? I tell you what, you go to the mailbox, got all these flyers telling me about all these horrible people running for office and all that they've done wrong. It is a crazy world that we live in, and I absolutely echo what Keith said about it's hard to watch the news and feel good, optimistic, and hopeful, and to be reminded that we have a God Almighty that's on the throne. So I want to do something dangerous this morning, and that is talk about politics. We're going to do that a little bit today. So, but don't be bothered if you think I'm going to offend you, because I have full intentions to offend the one next to you who's of the opposite party as well. So just bear in mind, we'll all get a good dose of it. It is election time. And with that, I want to say and express what I think you feel as well, and that is it's a privilege to live in a free nation and to be able to vote in a real election. We have places around the world with dictators who have elections and there's one name on the ballot. We actually vote, and I'm proud to be an American, and I'm very grateful. I believe you are too. I'm grateful to the men and women who've sacrificed and even died so we could be free, so we could come here today in freedom and not have to be afraid to practice our religion to God Almighty. And so our freedom is precious, and it's a shame that politics gets so ugly. It's a shame. And I don't know any way around it, but it is a shame that that's true. I believe that God is neither a Republican nor a Democrat. And I believe God is working in both parties. And I believe the devil is too. We can amen that one, can't we? Amen. The devil is working in both parties. Well, I believe God is good enough that so is he. And it is easy, and I've done this, once you get a line with one political party, it's so easy to see the other political party as completely bad. I there have been times in the past where I followed politics very closely, and I'd be watching my national news channel, and they would be discussing some political issue, and they'd have two people on there, two guests, you know, contributors, and they're going to share their opinion on this, and they're, you know, they have some expertise or whatever, some credentials. And so they come on, and you don't know right away who's who, and they start talking. As soon as one starts talking, and I realize they are aligned with the other side, I immediately don't like them. I don't like how they look. I don't like how they sound. I don't like how they think. I think they're dumb, and I'm not exaggerating a whole lot. I'm being completely honest. And I'd hear them talk, and I think, well, I already know you're dumb because I know your position. I'll paint the whole rest of the picture based on that. And as I step back and really think about it, and then when the person talks that agrees with me, I hang on every word. I mean, they're so eloquent and they're so wise, and it's ironic that picture is a very close picture to what we know of as racism, where you have thoughts about another group of people, and based on even your experiences with maybe some, you have an opinion and prejudge. And I've done that politically, and I think it's easy to do that politically. We're tempted to do that. What is very true about political matters are you like me, where you'd like to know what's really going on? You'd like to know what this candidate really stands for. You'd like to know what really happened with this incident in our state or at the federal level. You'd like to know the truth. But it is difficult to find the truth, isn't it? It's very difficult to know, because after all the twisting that's done and the spinning and the biased reporting, what comes out, who knows if it's really true or not? I've noticed that when one of our presidents, a president of this country, and it doesn't matter, you can pick any of the recent ones, Trump, Obama, Bush, or Clinton, what one of our presidents will do, they will take some action. And I've noticed how following politics, they will take some action, and if the opposite party disagrees with that action, of course, they'll blast them relentlessly. If they actually agree with what was done, the opposite party will not say, we applaud the president, good job. What they will say is, he should have done it earlier. Right? If it had done that 2 weeks ago, da-da-da-da-da. The opposite party, I'm not saying all politicians are this way, because I believe God is working. But in a general sense, this two-party system, they're so against each other, and it's irrelevant what's really happening or what's really done. The actions are irrelevant. It's one against the other. So Matthew 10:16 reminds us. I want to remind you, church, today of some things from God's Word. And this is one. Jesus, when he was sending his disciples out, he said, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Does that sound familiar? Sheep in the midst of, does that feel right? Are we in the midst of wolves? Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That's what we need to be. A couple things we need to be very aware of. There's a lot of mudslinging. Isn't it amazing? If you want to know the dirt on a politician, just listen to their opponent. They'll tell you all the dirt. And is it real? I don't know. I get flyers every day about these rotten scoundrels. And you know who made the flyer? The one running against them or whoever supports them. We have to be wise, and we have to weed through all of that. We also need to be aware that the way that we receive our news comes from businesses. If you get your news from television or print, internet, radio, however you get it, is it not from a business that... They're not a charity. I'm not even going to name one. Just name your favorite news outlet. It's not a charity. It's a business. They have to make money. Those organizations have bosses that are primarily concerned about one thing, and it's a word that starts with R and it rhymes with aidings. Ratings. Viewers. Right? They have to have viewers to sell commercials. They have to make a profit, and for that reason, it seems to me that they dramatize things. One tactic is to stir emotion in you. If you watch the news, notice that if they can get you to feel happy or sad or mad or, best of all, panic. If our news is presented in a way that makes us panic, guess what? It doesn't matter if we love or hate what they're saying, I'm watching. I've got to watch. I've got to find out what's happening, what should happen, what didn't happen, what should not have happened, good, bad, or ugly. We receive our news from organizations that are trying to make a profit. Are they biased? I used to watch the news with the trust that it's being presented to me unbiased. Do you think it's biased? Let me, I'll answer that question with this point. I think this coming next Saturday, there's a football game. And I think they call it Bedlam. And for example, if during that game there's a call that's controversial where the officials make a call and there's a lot of controversy, I'm very confident that we have people here on both sides, right? Sooner fans and Cowboy fans. And they're all over. I don't know which one you amen to, but I'm not going to say go over that again. But we have two sitting right here beside each other like they even like each other as brothers in Christ. You know, Brian and Rick are going to, if there's a controversial call in this game, again, this football game Saturday, would you believe these guys are going to be on both sides, opposite sides of it? Are they good guys? I think so. I think they are. They seem to be pretty good guys, although Brian has dropped dramatically in my book recently because you know what happened. He had a snake and was scaring me with a snake recently. That's the devil, a snake. Anyway, we are so biased. We're all biased. We might be so close to each other because of Christ, but you put a football game, I can't even watch a football game with some of you people. That's how biased I am. I won't do it. Is our news that we're receiving, is it biased? Yes. In church, we have to be wise. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." I remind you, if you want to worry about something, worry about the devil. Worry about the devil. He is the enemy. He is the one that is scheming. He is the one that is against us. He is trying to steal your soul and the soul of every old person, middle-aged person, child, or baby. He's after all of us. He is the enemy. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's the big message today. Against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not physical, it's spiritual. And as we look at politics, we have to look at that in a spiritual way, a spiritual mindset, because we're not of this world. Our focus should be on spiritual matters, shouldn't it? And I'm not saying that there are not some political issues that are spiritual issues, because some are very much so. And we have to weed that out. But we are not like the world. We're not like the world. Our primary goal is winning the lost to Christ, isn't it? And keeping the saved saved. That is our goal. That's our purpose. That's our focus. And it's true that our government cannot save us. Our government cannot save us. It was not established to save us. I'm grateful for it, by the way, because government brings along organization of a group of people where there can be peace and safety. There can be benefits of society working together, and government reflects that. But a lot of church, a lot of our political discussions on social media, for example, I assume it also happens, you know, face-to-face or as we discuss things, but a lot of what is put on social media that's political by, and I mean by the world and the church individually, we do it sarcastically. We do it in a way that's condescending. I've been guilty of it, posting something where it's kind of this flavor. It's, hey, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you know, here it is, here it is. And in my mind, if people don't agree with that, they have no mind at all. I don't know what's wrong with them if they don't agree with what I'm saying here politically. And I'm arrogant, and I'm rude, and I'm condescending, and I'm not winning people to my political position. And much worse, I'm not winning them to Christ. That's my goal. That's your goal, isn't it? To win people to Christ. That's what we need to be about. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings." So this would be our president. We need to pray for our president and all who are in high positions. These are people who hold political office, who make decisions. God tells us to pray for them. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified. It's not that we shouldn't vote. Of course we should vote. We should vote for godly things, though. We should vote in godly ways with God in mind, with our focus being on spiritual things, on eternity, on souls. What is God interested in? What's He think about all of our political mess? Verse 4 answers that. Who desires all people to be saved. You want to know what God's thinking about? He's thinking about saving people. Amen. Who desires all people to be saved. Well, what about this issue? God, I'm not saying there's not moral issues. There are. But God is trying to save souls. There's one God. There's one mediator, Jesus Christ. And church, when we engage in some of the world's disputes, we look like the world and not like Christ.
That's right.
I've been guilty of this, and I'd ask that all of us look at your own ways. It's so easy to act like we used to be, right? I'm not throwing stones at the world. We used to be that way. But we were called to be different, and we want to be different. And incidentally, I've not looked at Facebook the past few days. I've not seen anyone's posts about politics. So in case you think the preacher read what you put on there and developed a whole sermon for it, that is incorrect. I did not do that. But the truth is, we need to quit acting like the world.
Amen.
And we need to act like Christ. 1 Peter 2:16, live as people who are free. Not using your freedom to cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Now that one's tough. What about the yahoos that are of this opposite position, or they advocate for this or that, and it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard? It could not be more dumb or idiotic. What about them? What does God tell me to do with them? And God says, honor them. And so that connects to what we're saying here, because we need to show honor as we're discussing these issues. People just about can't talk about politics without getting ugly, correct? In fact, we have a cultural saying in this nation: don't talk about two things. It's a shame, but it's true. Politics, what's the other one? Religion. It's a shame. If we would honor people more, we could do it more. But we have to show honor. Love the brotherhood. That's easier. Fear God. We get that. We get that mostly. How about this one? Honor the emperor. I think that one gets us all. Our past two presidents, I don't know if we've had a couple presidents that have been so, our nation's polarized. If you like one of the past two, you probably don't like the other two, and you might not like either one of them. But there's been a lot of dislike for our leader in this nation, isn't there? How about this? Honor the emperor. Honor the president. How do you do that? In the way we talk about them, for starters. We can still speak to what we feel like is wrong, or wrong actions, or wrong decisions. We can do it, but we show honor. That's a child of God. That man is in that position because God allowed him to be.
Amen.
Now, did God want him to be? I don't know. But God knows it. He allowed it. And we need to show honor. I'm not saying that the president is doing everything right or acting right. We need to pray for him, show honor. And I think most of us have probably spoken dishonorably about one of the last two, maybe both. And I know I have. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. So, church, I'm trying to contrast what we can easily get sucked into, and where God wants us to be. We're to be a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a blanket or a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house, all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Why? Why are we to be so good? So God will be glorified. So people will look to us and see that maybe there's a God Almighty that's good enough that He can make ugly mankind act good. We're to honor God. And we need to remember, if we are posting things about political things, that someday this world is all going to burn up. This is temporary. This is the short game. Long game is eternity. It's going to burn up, and my job is to point people to Christ. That's what we need to do. So we need to pray, absolutely. Absolutely. Church, politically, we need to be on our knees. The world may be up in arms and yelling and shouting and foaming at the mouth. We need to be on our knees. We need to vote for godly lawmakers who will make godly laws. We need to do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in politics. We need godly politicians. And those that are godly, don't you know they need prayers? I don't know how successful you can be in politics and be godly. I don't know. I scratch my head on that. I don't know. Because voters are obviously swayed by dirty politics, aren't they? Politicians are not, they're not dumb. The mudslinging has an effect, but we need to pray for our politicians. We need to elect godly ones, but remember that this world's not our home. We need to vote as God would vote, and really, to take one thing from today's message, it's try to look at earthly things as God sees them. How does God see them? I flipped on a channel the other day. I have way too many TV channels. I'm sorry. I do. I don't need any amens from this section, but I do. And I'm flipping through channels. And there's a NASA channel. Has anyone seen that one? NASA. Really? I'm the only one? You ought to go find that. It's hidden. It's way up the numbers if you have it. But if you have a NASA channel, flip on that thing. It's showing live footage, right, from the space station of the Earth. And you won't be interested very long, but it's kind of intriguing at first. But what it does for me is it reminds me, I wonder how God views us. And I view us as an American. I don't think God does. God's not an American. That's weird for me. I view us from the United States outward. God doesn't. And that's really a change in mindset needs to be for us. And so try to look at political things as God would see them. Our political system is divided, but we should not be a divided people. We need to remember that we have an allegiance to. And I'm talking about the greatest kingdom in the history of man. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. That's who our allegiance is to. Jesus said, Matthew 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." God, consider this, church, and I ask you to take anything I say, and Keith, Bob, any of us who preach up here, you take it, you open your Bible, you search it. If we are off, you come and lovingly, right, lovingly help us, show us. But consider this one. God did not call us to establish a God-fearing nation. That sounds strange. A God-fearing nation is good. It's good. I'm grateful that we live in a nation that to some extent fears God. I think we feared God more in the past, right? But God didn't call us to establish a nation, even a God-fearing nation. He called us to make disciples of all nations, didn't He? Make disciples of all nations into an eternal kingdom. Jesus didn't set up an earthly kingdom. He set up an eternal kingdom. When I study Scripture, I notice things like this that kind of make me, they rock everything about the way I've viewed life and make me question things. But Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Philippians 3, 18, for many of whom I've often told you. Now see if this reflects the world we live in. Now tell you, even with tears, many people walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. People are proud of what they should be ashamed of, people are ashamed of their faith in God. We've got things backward with minds set on earthly things. That's the world we live in. But our citizenship is in heaven. I'm still an American citizen. I'm grateful. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a Roman citizen. He had privileges with that. I'm probably more grateful for American citizenship than he was. Maybe not. But that's not really what I belong to. I belong to Jesus Christ. And so our citizenship is in heaven, where we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. This is coming. So oftentimes, Christians, we may talk through communion, but we will stand reverently, silently through the national anthem. Where is my allegiance? I'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm an American citizen, and I have duties to, as an American citizen. I'm loyal to this nation, proud of this nation. But my pride, my allegiance to being an American is here, and my allegiance to God, I can't show you how high that, right? That's where it needs to be. My allegiance to God is off the charts. Should be.
Amen.
Should be. I'm still proud to be an American, but you can't compare my allegiance to America, right? Our allegiance to America and our allegiance to Christ. You can't compare it.
That's right.
One's eternal. One is earthly, and it's going to be burned up, and sometimes it's worldly. But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. If we want to worry about things, we need to stop worrying about earthly things, by the way, and worry a lot more about spiritual things. When Jesus was on this earth, go study this one. When Jesus was on this earth, He did not push for political change. He pushed for spiritual change. I'm not saying political change can't be good for the cause of Christ. I'm saying spiritual change is what we're about, church. That's the kingdom we're a part of. We're part of an eternal kingdom. It transcends this world. Nations will rise and fall. America someday, if this world keeps spinning, don't you think, America will fall. And if you don't, study history. It would be quite an anomaly, if I've used that word right. Right? Nations come and go. Kingdom of God is eternal. And we need to be about that. I'll leave you with this thought. The difference between a nation and a kingdom. A nation is a large group of people united by common descent, history, or culture. A kingdom is a country ruled by a king. We do have a king, don't we? We have a king, and He's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is who is in control. That's who is ruling. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement unto Thee, O Lord. That is our ultimate allegiance, and that's who we are to be about. And so if I've offended you a little bit, I've whipped myself too, all right? But think about these things, and I'd love for us to get into this and search it. How does God view the things that we deal with every day? If you're here this morning and you have a need, we would love to pray for you. We'd love to have someone come. Folks, the invitation to give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away is open 24/7. But we do offer it at times like this. And so if there's one that wants to give your life to Christ or any way we can help you, please come while we stand and sing.
Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
Yeah.
ashamed when not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not, the sins of my youth.
The sins of my youth.
Remember not, the sins of my youth. Let not my enemies triumph. Oh.